Yes.
Okay. We'll get started this morning. First thing on our agenda is public comment. Who wants to public comment? I'm sure somebody out there does. Come on down. Don't fight in the hallway there.
Can I sign up?
Come.
Can I sign up?
If you'd like to, sure.
Can I give a public comment?
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you all. I'm Chris Bass, Executive Director, Delaware Center for Inland Land Bays. Thanks for the opportunity to comment. Center made extensive comments on the plan when it was being developed by planning and zoning. And we're real pleased to see that, you know, by and large, the majority of our comments in some shape or form made it into the element. And so just want to thank you all for that and sustaining them. It's comprehensive. There's a lot in there. There's a lot to do. And, you know, I've got some experience doing plans myself. And I've come to learn that, you know, sometimes our eyes are bigger than our stomachs, and you know, so to speak. And we think maybe we have more time than we actually have to get all these things done. So sometimes some things get done, other things don't get done. And I've also observed in the plan that some of the elements or the strategies in the element use language such as that's more geared towards assessing and considering, and so these two observations are leading me to a few recommendations. And the first is that maybe, given there's so many things to do in the plan, maybe we could prioritize some of the strategies in the plan. And I also would like to see some of the strategies that would be most important to protecting and restoring one of the county's most important amenities, the inland bays. Maybe some of the language be strengthened to be more actionable. So instead of saying, you know, consider that, you know, some shape or form, we're going to do it.
Now, you're using a lot of fancy words here. What do you mean actionable?
Actionable is maybe more of an assurance for the public that this one's going to get done. Instead of considering, maybe we'll, you know, which says we're going to take a look at it, you know, shift a few priority ones as saying, we're going to get these done.
See, now some of the things you in Bays works on is ideas, just what they think might be right. But we work on scientific here. We work on what we know is right.
Right.
That's a lot different.
And not to say that, you know, considering and discussing and working on them is not a bad thing. It's necessary. I think the comment here is that certain priorities for us, we would like to see be more actionable in the language. An understanding that you all have a lot of inputs to consider, and this is just one input that I'm offering today.
So sometimes you're working on, we work on facts, sometimes you work on just what you think. Not what you really know, what you think.
Well, we try to use facts as much as possible, but sometimes.
Always.
You use the best information available. Is that right, Rob?
Absolutely. Always facts.
So if I may, I'll move on to a few things that we think should be priorities in the element. The first is water quality buffers. The county has a very good water quality buffer ordinance in place at this time. We would like to see that ordinance strengthened. Reason being is that buffers are very important for water quality in the inland bays, which we're all working together to try to improve. Buffers are also important for safety. They protect our properties from flooding, and they also protect us from having to, as a society, go in and bail people out when they get flooded, because that's often what happens when people's property gets flooded. So our recommendations are very much detailed in a report that we have, and we're encouraging the county to consider that report. And we think that the extent of buffers in the county could be expanded to better protect water quality, as well as the width of buffers, and that different water bodies be considered to have different widths as appropriate.
Where is that report?
I will send that to you. It is on our website. It was a report we put together in 2008. It makes extensive recommendations on what we feel water quality buffers should look like, considers things like vegetation in the buffer, extent, width, things like making sure people use these buffers as an amenity for their community so that they have a view out to the water, which is what people desire. And that's how we really look at buffers, as an amenity for communities to keep people safe and keep the water clean.
Has anything changed in your view from 2008?
No, I think the report has got great information. It's a lot of science, and it's well founded. I think when you look at other counties in the region, they tend to have more extensive and wider buffers than in Sussex. Certainly for the Inland Bays watershed, it's a very important tool for water quality. And I think it's something that can be improved upon. And I think there's a lot of people going to have a lot of input on that. And I think that's important. So if I might move on, another thing that we feel is very important to water quality. Yes, sir.
Can I just ask you one?
You got it.
I think I read that report. I'm not sure. But is there a synopsis of it? It's very detailed and it's very hard to read.
Yes.
Is there a...
I'm not going to argue with you.
Is there a one-page recommendation type sheet that could accompany, go along with that?
Yes, sir.
We're not scientists.
No, you're not. So I will...
I'm talking to science up here.
Sam is very sciencey today. I feel like I'm with colleagues. There's an executive summary.
That's the word I was
Up front, but I would be happy to do an even better job of distilling that down to something a little more straightforward. I mean, the most important thing when you're talking about improving water quality is what waterways get any type of buffer. Might be a very small buffer if it can work, but most waterways are deserving of some type of buffer just to keep people away from that water and their daily activities and keep the nutrients or that fertilizers out of the water.
Chris, on the buffers, I mean, I know that there's lots of opinions. I mean, there are, you know that, I think, around the country with regard to that. And ultimately is the buffers, and I understand, you know, less that's closer to the waterways, less intrusive, right? Less contaminants that can go in there.
Right.
But, and I do understand that, but I mean, is it more so of a setback of the actual building? I mean, what from a building, be it where it's currently at, the setback versus what you are suggesting, how will that really improve the water?
Thank you. That's a great question. So you're talking about one component mm-hmm. of a buffer system. You're talking about the width of a buffer, and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
So right now the county has a 50-foot width, and just for reference, I'll tell you that most other counties in the area tend to have a 100-foot width or wider. As you increase the width of a buffer, the science has shown that you improve the nutrients that you trap or that you keep out of the water up to a certain point. So in the center's recommendations, we took a look at all these studies, and we plotted the graph, you know, width versus effectiveness. And we found that once you get to about 80 foot, you don't get much better than that for a stream, okay? For a stream. So that's our recommendation, is an 80-foot buffer on a stream or a wetland by a stream. But
50, the 80, 100, but again, I'm not sure if you've answered the question. So okay. How was that differential changing the quality of the water? Is it because you have more area that can absorb the water because there's not a building there? As an example, I mean, I'm just wondering how was that 30-foot differential going to safeguard what's going in that water?
I understand your question. So buffers work in two ways. One is that the area inside the buffer is no longer receiving any inputs of nutrients, right? You're not fertilizing in that buffer. There's no runoff coming from that area. So just by being a buffer itself, you have improvements to the water quality. So if you have more of a buffer, you have more improvements. But a buffer, because it's near a waterway, all the water is coming to that waterway from other areas. And so if you have a wider buffer, the science has shown that can help to reduce the pollution coming from other areas more. So it works in those two ways.
Okay.
And but to your point, only up to an extent of width has the science shown that you get more benefit. And that's one of the reasons why our recommendation happens to be a little less than 100. I think a lot of people just say, okay, 100 feet sounds good, but you know, we got other things to consider here. And if I may, the width is one component of a good system. But you also have to look at the fact that different water bodies, different types of water, have different considerations. For example, a stream stays put, basically, right? It ain't going nowhere. But a tidal wetland, a salt marsh, they move. They are dynamic. And they are always moving inland. So you have a certain change in function of a buffer that you would construct for a tidal wetland. You want to allow that wetland to keep moving and make sure that it's not moving into people's houses. A lot of people, when they come here, you know, we grew up here. We get it. You know, we know what that water does, and we know what the land does. My experience, a lot of people coming here, they don't get, they don't understand. They just see that water sitting there, and they're like, that's great. It's going to stay right there, and I'm going to enjoy my view. And then sooner or later, it's under their porch. And who are they coming to for help? So I feel that, you know, we have a responsibility to educate folks and do the right thing for the bay, but also for people so that they're not getting flooded out. And I think that that's part of a buffer system.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, so I'd like to also suggest that wastewater management and planning be continued. I think the county has done an absolutely fantastic job with centralized sewer, converting thousands and thousands of septic systems over to central sewer in the Inland Bays watershed. It's remarkable, the accomplishments that have been made, and that's going to help with the water quality. So we're just asking that be continued. It's a great contribution. Planning for wastewater management with the increase in population that we are having in the county and the watershed is also going to be very important. As more people move in, more nutrients and waste are added to the watershed. And so planning ahead can help us determine what levels of treatment we would need to have at facilities to ensure that the total amount of nutrients from the wastewater getting into the bays is healthy. So as you have more people coming in, you always have to improve that treatment. So we're just hoping the county can continue its participation. We're so fortunate for your staff to be doing that now and just encouraging that. The third thing is supporting agriculture and farmers' interests to improve water quality. There's a number of different ways to do that, and I'll give you one example that's very important to the bays: cover crops. So in the Inland Bays watershed, we have a goal of 36,000 acres of farmland having cover crops on an annual basis. Right now, we're at about 18% of that goal. That's an important goal to keeping nutrients out of the water. So we're seeking more support in helping farmers reach that goal and getting more cover crops on fields. I think that there might be a role for the county in this, and that financing mechanisms could be explored to assist those farmers improve water quality. And that would achieve another element of the plan, which is to help the agriculture economy and help Sussex County farmers keep going. Cover crops are not only good for water quality, it's good for the health of the soil. It's good for the bottom line overall. So it's got a lot of benefits. Same thing with farmers that might want assistance in creating a wetland on their farm to help bring in wildlife and reduce nutrients. So finally, I would like to add a suggestion that we consider adding another strategy. And this has become more apparent to me during this comprehensive planning process. It's a bit independent, but there's just been more need and more talk about this lately. And that is waterway management for the inland bays. The bays are a critical economic amenity. They are the center of the county's boating industry. There's 60,000 registered boaters in Delaware, and you know, the majority of them are out there on the bays. So it's very important economically. But the issue we're having is funding for waterway management is just not there. The feds used to help out. They're essentially out of the game. The state has tried to raise funds for this to get a program going, and they've been successful to an extent. but they got about $1 million a year coming in now. They need about 4 to 5. There's probably a dozen waterways that need dredging, and we hear about it all the time from communities in towns and in the county around the bays. So what I would request is the county explore financing mechanisms to help the state with waterway management, to help the towns with waterway management. This is good not just for people getting around, being able to use the amenity of the inland bays, but if done right, it can also help protect the marshes around the bays. And what I mean by that is every time you dredge out a channel, you get a resource. And what is that resource, Sam?
That's topsoil.
That's right.
God, my
well, you just said sand on top of it. We've been talking scientific stuff. But like, just be easy today.
Must have had his V8 juice.
So lately we've been able to put that on salt marshes and help rebuild the salt marshes. That helps protect people's property. It helps protect communities. It helps wildlife habitat. So there can be an environmental benefit from dredging as well. So just encouraging the county to consider that as assistance financially for waterway management in the bays. So that's all I have.
Have you had thoughts of how we could do that? I know you have.
Well, certainly in partnership, working with the state, perhaps matching their contributions. Maybe there's a fund that could be created, an interest-bearing fund in the county that could help support that.
There's a lot of people out of jobs, right?
What's that?
There's a lot of people out of jobs, so we're going to
give them a shovel.
We're going to go climb around, point a shovel.
That'll work.
How about this? Something just came to mind. How about we have these tax ditch districts? I wonder if there's such a concept as waterway management districts. If there's something to, then property owners who benefit the most could have an input into management and plus raising additional funds.
Like you.
I'd love to have.
So you're on the waterway with a boat access, and you right. benefit from it.
And we could start that as a pilot program, right? A channel right from my house straight out to the deep water. But no
pilot program.
No. My point is, we do have a mechanism that's already been set up, and I don't. You know, I know the tax ditches run themselves basically and manage themselves, and many of them don't collect enough funds to do. To do it, others do, you know, but maybe something along that lines that the county could maybe help coordinate, or soil conservation runs a tax ditch efforts, right?
Yeah.
But maybe a waterway management district.
It would help keep it local and equitable.
And the people who benefit from the most can participate, and maybe then state and county funds or somebody could help match that. But that would help bring more money on the table.
And if you put those boats in its waterways, it adds more pollution. It comes from the motors and the oil and all that stuff.
We got to figure out how to
get... That'd be more pollution, and the fertilizer runs in there by far.
3/4 of the boats that are registered in the state of Delaware are on the Indian River and Rehoboth Bay, I think. And then the other... balance of them are all from Pennsylvania. So if we could figure out how we can get more money out of that, mm-hmm. out of state element, mm-hmm. and maybe there's something the state, I don't know if the state does anything like that, but I know the county wouldn't, we wouldn't do anything like that, but anyway.
Anything else?
Yeah, I have a quick question. Oh, you know, sure. Just in terms of what you talked about with the economic impact of agriculture through the preservation of waterways and tourism and other things. Has the Center for Inland Bays or anybody done an economic impact study on the benefits of the inland bays and other waterways? The reason I ask is, I'm going to sound like Mr. Collier for a second. We're in Florida.
God, don't let that
happen. They talked about, you know, that they have inland bays a lot like what we do. They're larger, of course, but they did an economic impact study, and that turned it into dollars and cents that was tangible. And once they knew the value of what these areas did for these counties that are affected by it, mm-hmm. it kind of gave a concrete basis for, at least down there, why they were so important. Has anybody done that up here?
I think there has been, hasn't there?
You know, there has to a certain scale, and I'm really glad you brought that up. There was a study done by the University of Delaware Sea Grant Program in 2012, and it focused on the coastal economy. It essentially looked at the zip codes in eastern Sussex and maybe one up in Kent, and it excluded agricultural activity. It just looked at, essentially restaurants, real estate, boating, tourism. And it found that the coastal economy contributes $7 billion in economic activity, 56,000 jobs per year, and $711 million to the tax base. It was a wonderful study. It was well done. But to your point, I just want to cut to the chase and say that in our current budget, this year I have $15,000 that I have available to do an economic impact analysis for the inland bays specifically. And I am looking for a match for that money.
What do you think it would cost to do one?
I think we might be able to get it done for $30,000. And I think that we should do more work on this study because I feel that we need to know specifically about the inland bays. How many marinas? What are the economic benefits of the marinas? How many waterfront restaurants? How many boaters? What's the economic value of the fishing industry of the inland bays? Maintaining the channels. Getting very specific so that we can make those arguments, to folks like yourself, to folks at the state level, even to our federal partners. So I'm glad you brought that up. We're looking for partners.
Mr.
Robertson, here's the key. They're looking for partners to make donations. And you seem to be high on this, so I would suggest you get your checkbook out.
That falls under the question, the thing that they tell you lawyers, don't ask a question you don't know the answer to. I think that was one right there.
let me ask Todd, do we have the ability to calculate maybe the amount of money that we collect through transfer tax in, say, waterfront communities or waterfront property? Because we could actually show that properties that abut wetlands and waterways and the bay and the inland bays, et cetera, in that area, the transfer taxes are X that we derive out of our total. And I think that would be very impressive.
We've done some studies on our tax base, mostly property tax base, just as it relates to where the value is, and the famous quotation that we used: a mile from the beach is X amount of the property base for the county. Really, we could do a snapshot as well. I don't know that we could drill all the way down to this waterfront development because our property, the real property, is identified by the tax parcel ID only, not X development. So we could look into seeing how we could get some of those numbers. Done it in the past.
Right. Again, just to support this economic impact of what the inland bays offers to Sussex County.
Yep.
Anything else?
I have one quick question for Chris. What report in the beginning you were talking about, the 08 report? I'm on your website. What's the title of the report?
It is Recommendations for a Water Quality Buffer System for the Inland Bays Watershed.
Okay.
It's not a long title.
That's a long title.
Yeah. I've learned a lot since 2008.
A lot of good information on your website.
We've got 8 minutes left. Anybody want to come speak to us? Come on down.
Gail Van Gilder, Chair of the Lewis Historic Byway Committee. I'm playing a bit of catch-up here because I've been away, and it was my understanding that we could still comment on chapters that were
anything covered. You'd like to comment on.
Okay, just to want to make sure nothing's changed. So I did have a couple of comments on the mobility section. I had submitted to you a rewrite of the section on scenic byways. And I submitted that back in October, but when I checked it this week, I see that it was not changed. And I think that the write-up that you have there is very, very, inadequate. And it's a half a page, and there's a half page empty there because it's the last item at the end of the chapter. I gave you a page, basically, of information, which is much better information. And if you want to encourage the scenic byway program in the state and in the county, you have to give people a little bit of information about what it's really about and how to get involved. So I have that information for you again, which I'll give to you and I'll resubmit. And if you have any questions on that, I'd really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about it rather than just have it go by the wayside and not get done.
Do you have extra copies with you, by chance, of that?
Do I have extra copies?
Yes.
I only have one.
I'm sure we can make
them.
Okay.
But
we can
I do have a
few
couple,
copies.
I do have a couple back at my church.
Maybe
I think. Maybe not. But I can get it to you.
Put pictures on it, paper.
Excuse me?
Help. Put pictures on it so help.
Exactly. We need all the help.
Okay. So then also on the byway issues, I had included some recommendations, and they were, I don't think that they were included either, but correct me if I'm wrong, because I might have missed it because I was scanning through the whole document. Adopt a byway sign ordinance specific to byway roads to maintain the aesthetics of the byway character. I don't know if that, I don't believe that got in there, or recommend adoption of a byway sign ordinance, and we've been talking with the county about this for a while, and I think during the sign ordinance process, and we agreed that we'd come back to it later and try to get that done. And the other thing that we are working on is voluntary, and I stress voluntary, byway design guidelines to improve local awareness of byways and enhance byway character. I'd like to ask for a recommendation to encourage development of voluntary design guidelines for byways. And I can give you more information on that. But because a good bit of work has already been done on that by the byway committee. Now I'm switching to the Minas Conaway project, which is, I believe, in the mobility chapter. Am I correct on that? And I see that it's mentioned there, but I did want to give you a little bit more information and a few recommendations. Byway committee and I think the city of Lewis as well is concerned about the impact that that will have, because it includes also a new road underpass that it would have on new road and traffic coming into the city of Lewis onto downtown roads that are already over capacity on busy weekends and high season. So I wrote a recommendation that said consider the impact of Minas Conaway project on Route 1 and New Road, purchase right-of-way to expand New Road from, you'd have to expand it probably from Nassau at Route 1 to Orchard Road at a minimum, but DelDOT needs to include purchasing the right-of-way to expand that road if they're going to put that underpass in, and to create a landscape gateway for the byway, which is one of the byway goals, is to have each of the byway roads, as improvements are made to them, to have gateways to be incorporated into the DelDOT improvements. So, and then also I included that we could recommend that a shuttle service be included as part of this project, because that's one of the things that could really help traffic. If they're going to bring more traffic into town with a new road underpass and create a bypass potentially over to Kings Highway, that they need to do something to also get cars off the road and relieve the downtown traffic. So this is something been talked about for quite a while. It will probably also be a great idea for Rehoboth and other beach communities. So I'd like to get a recommendation for a shuttle service. And in the comp plan, I saw that there was a recommendation for a hotel shuttle service. There was a recommendation for developments to have their own shuttle services and businesses, etc. But I didn't see anything about a public shuttle service. That, and they have them in Cape May. It works really well. I believe they have it in Annapolis and other places, and it's a wonderful solution. but I don't see it in the comp plan. And my other recommendation is that the comp plan recommend Uber-type transportation parking be provided at key locations to access restaurants and shopping with the limited parking. And this is done in other communities as well, where they have, you know, congested areas where they provide a few spaces where Uber can park and drop off and pick up people, so that if you're trying to access restaurants in the evening or whenever, and or trying to shop downtown, that you can do it with Uber. But the problem has been getting a couple of parking spaces dedicated so that you can have that drop-off place. And so I thought that would be a good recommendation to include in the comp plan. I didn't see it there. All right. Then also on the conservation section, on open space and recreation, I had included a recommendation on bonus density contribution. I see that it's in there in a number of places about reconsidering it and relooking at it. I'd like to suggest that we consider increasing the bonus density contribution on a sliding scale based upon the value of the building lots, because there's a great disparity, you know, between costs of building lots and where people get bonus densities. And in some areas, the benefit to the developer is a lot larger than in other areas. And if we had that, perhaps that would be a way that we could better use that bonus density contribution, where the funding is then used for open space preservation. So, and then work towards establishing a Sussex County Parks and Recreation Department. I saw in there that you were going to try to have more help within the county for parks and recreation, but I didn't see anything about long-term actually establishing a Parks and Recreation Department. Since this is a long-term document, I thought it'd be important to have it in there. And on new housing developments, I see a lot in there about open space set-asides in cluster developments, but I don't see anything about open space set-asides in new developments that don't use cluster design. And it seemed to me that, again, if you were doing a cluster design and getting a bonus density, you might have to set aside more open space, whereas if you had a housing development, it might be a different amount without the bonus density, but that all housing developments should have to give a set aside for open space. And then on to the conservation chapter, which is what I think you're working on today, I wanted to recommend a scenic byway buffer on byway roads as new developments take place. Newcastle County does have that in their county code. And if we don't have a byway buffer, then we will, over time, lose the intrinsic values for which these roads were designated as byways if we don't do something to have to retain some of the scenic qualities that they were recommended for in the first place. On page 2, there's a statement about budget cutbacks in open space funding. And I think that that's really going to be, could become old news. And for a plan, I think that was the situation, you know, last year when you were writing the plan, where it said that there were budget cutbacks in open space. But of course, now this year, there is a proposal to put $10 million back in the state budget for open space, which is what it has been for many years. So I would rather see it say something like Sussex County supports increased state funding for the preservation of open space, and perhaps, I mean, I think there's something in there about working with the state to preserve open space in the most rapidly growing county in the state. So rather than talk about what's happened last year, which will be not relevant for perhaps in the future. We should talk about our support for the open space funding so that we can bring more to Sussex County.
So how much money do you think we are putting in open space? How much per acre of money do you think we are putting in open space? How much money? You're talking about open space. It can't come free, you know. How much money do we have put into it?
Well, I'm talking the $10 million in the state budget.
About at least $10 million.
Yes.
In the state budget.
In the state budget, not the county.
Okay.
I know there was a percentage.
As long as the state understands it, I don't care.
No, right. That's what I thought too. I mean, but we should encourage that and support them in their efforts. So, I think my last item here was the preservation of the Great Marsh. And I didn't see that listed in the natural various areas that you have listed in the conservation section. The Great Marsh is a 17,000-acre coastal wetland at the mouth of the Delaware Bay. And it's unique and complex ecology like none other. It's a globally recognized migratory feeding ground for birds, hatching area for many fish and crabs in the Delaware Bay, and it has a big economic impact. And I have seen those numbers and could produce them if you want them. But I think we need to add preservation of the Great Marsh. And I brought you some Great Marsh.
That's what I was born. Thank you. You can give any documents you want to Janelle, and we'll get copies of that.
Thank you.
I look forward to review.
Good points. Okay, we're a little bit behind time now. We're going to get back on the agenda. I have no idea. John, you're up. Future land use chapter discussion.
Turn loose.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.